It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
I have a question for you. Do you remember the movie Enchanted?
I never saw it, but I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I think I do. Who's in it?
Everybody. Amy Adams, Patrick Dempsey, James Marsden, apparently Idina Menzel. I had not remembered it at the time, 2007. I was not particularly familiar with Idina Menzel because I had not seen the movie version of Rent or the other non-Broadway things she had been in. But apparently she was also in it.
Okay.
It's a decent movie. I mean, okay, it's a rom-com, and I hate rom-coms, and I didn't hate this movie. It's kind of fun. It was kind of cute. It was a fun, different twist on it. Cool. Why are they making a sequel 15 years later? Who asked for that? And with all the principal cast on board.
Well, I mean, they just made a sequel to Hocus Pocus, which I just realized yesterday is another film I've never seen, the original Hocus Pocus.
Which I've also never seen, and I have no interest. Unlike Enchanted, people say Hocus Pocus was awesome. They should make a sequel. Wouldn't that be cool if they made a sequel to that? Oh, like, I've heard people say that.
Oh, people do say that.
They did it. I have literally never heard anyone speak of Enchanted more than... Remember Enchanted? That one that's animated, then they come in the real world. It's a rom-com. They're like, oh, yeah, that was pretty good. And then we all move on. Like, there are lots of things that are getting late sequels that probably shouldn't. And I'm not arguing why Enchanted got a 15-year later sequel. I'm asking who the hell had the thought that started that process? Because I've had no indication for the last 15 years that anybody was asking for that.
Okay.
I'm very confused. My sister's current theory is that Patrick Dempsey is just about out of career. And so maybe this was a chance to get into the zeitgeist again. I don't know. I find it very weird that they're all back for. I mean, James Marsden is good for anything. I mean, he does a great job, but he also has no discretion in picking his projects. He just, you're doing a thing? Okay, I'll be there. I feel like Amy Smart should be better than this. Idina Menzel's on the top of the world right now. I'm a little surprised she's going for it. Patrick Dempsey's the only one that I'm like, yeah, I get that. It's weird. See, it's because I'm wearing my Sith robes now because it's cold enough. So now I get really mean.
Oh.
I'm getting all dark side. Yeah, that was me. Me on the light side of things is what you've been dealing with for the last several months. So.
I see.
Strap in. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Magic Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that makes and sells t-shirts unrelated to the podcast. Now, you ask yourself, how is that the podcast does it? It's because William and I both do it. We don't talk about it, but we have a separate job. Silk screening t-shirts has nothing to do with the podcast, but because it's the two of us, we are the podcast, so it means the podcast does it. And I'm confident no other podcast does that, so there we are. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 604. Have you ever worked in a place that makes t-shirts?
I have not. T-shirts? I've never worked.
I've actually done that kind of work.
I've never had a job.
It's actually kind of fun.
It looked interesting. I think there's a certain point in your early teens, or at least for me there was, where it suddenly, like, your brain was like, you could just put anything on a t-shirt if you wanted to.
Like, well, it's silk screening is an interesting process, right? Because, you know, you get these screens that let through paint. And, like, so let's say you've got a three-color shirt. You have three screens.
I mean, to be fair, most screens will let through paint. Have you ever tried to paint?
But, of course, like each screen only lets through a certain color. And so, you know, you put the screen down and you take this squeegee-like thing and you go over it with the paint. And then the real fancy outfits had this carousel-like thing with several screens on it.
Yeah. I remember seeing those.
And so you'd put a shirt on this flat surface and then you would just, you know, three or four people would be around this carousel, and then you'd pull down the spring-loaded arm, you know, and then you'd do that color screen, and then you'd spin the carousel to the next spring-loaded arm, and that would be the next color, and then you could do three or four or five colors on your shirt, and then put it in a dryer and start over.
Did you sing a work song while you were all doing that?
I had a friend who was an artist, and she would design shirts for the Indianola, Iowa used to have the balloon races, the nationals balloon races in Indianola, Iowa. And so she used to design shirts for that and sell them in her own booth or whatever. And I helped her, you know, produce some of those shirts after she designed them. And my brother Scott worked in a place. Scott designed a lot of screen printed shirts. One year when the Hawkeyes went to the Rose Bowl, he designed a Rose Bowl shirt / sweat, you know, a design that went on mugs,
feathered,
and sweatshirts.
Feathered
and
rose.
I still sometimes, it's pretty rare, but if I'm in Central Iowa especially, I'll see someone wearing a design that he did for that place.
So I'd be like, my brother made that, buy me lunch. And like, get away from me, beggar.
You know those designs that have a state and then they have these little cartoon representations of things in the state, and it's located on the map and approximately the place that thing's supposed to be? Or do you know at all what I'm talking about?
I think that's some middle of the country bullshit that I did not grow up with.
You know, like it'll be the state of Minnesota and
yeah, no, the concept works for me, but we were always just like, you know, we have mountains and oceans and shit, and you can just see those. I mean,
anyway, right there. He made one of those, so it's the state, and then there's like a cartoon representation of the capital, kind of where Des Moines is supposed to be. And there's a cartoon representation of a John Deere tractor where Waterloo is supposed to be and all that stuff. And where Mount Pleasant is supposed to be on the map, there's this sort of cartoon representation of old threshers, because they have old threshers in Mount Pleasant. And there's a little guy standing there looking at an old steam thresher and obviously enjoying his time in Mount Pleasant. And it's a little cartoon version of my dad. I always, whenever I see someone wearing a shirt like that, I always know it's Scott's design, because if
you're
I look
like,
down,
that's my dad.
I look down where Mount Pleasant is supposed to be. My dad's there,
and then the police are like, "Mr. Wright, we talked to you before about accosting strangers claiming your dad is on their T-shirt."
That's
you
pretty
need
good.
To stop. It's like a magic eye thing. I have never been to Indianola, Iowa. But I love Indianola, Iowa, for one and one reason only.
What's that?
It's called Indianola. It sounds like a really tone-deaf 1950s Native American theme park.
Well,
Come on, ride the rides and see the exhibits at Indianola.
It's the county seat of Warren County, which is the county west of Marion County where I grew up. Indianola
is an actual Native American term, isn't it? Isn't there a tribe called the Indianola or something? Or is it actually a 1950s tone deaf Native American theme park?
No. It is the place that has an A&W root beer restaurant to this day. And it was the main, and I mean, there were lots of A&W restaurants when I was growing up.
Yes.
This is the only one that's still there, but it's the one we went to the most often because we usually went to A&W when we were on our way to my mom's folks' place, which was Greenfield, Iowa, in Adair County. To get there, you hopped on 92 and you went through Indianola, you went through Winterset in Madison County, and you eventually got to Greenfield.
The fact that you know the origins of every name of everything in Iowa, and you're not telling me why Indianola is called Indianola, is making me nervous.
To my knowledge, the Ola is something that you put at the end of a lot of different things, and someone just put that at the end of Indian. I mean, it wasn't. What's not
so
the name of anything?
It's just as bad as I think it is. Oh, wow.
In a way, yeah. Someone just made this name up.
Wow.
To my knowledge. But, you know, sometimes you read about the origin of something and then later you find out, oh, that's not how it was or whatever.
And then this town over here is called Gypsy-O-Rama.
So the information I got, I mean, I didn't go verify anything. That's just the last
hilarious.
Idea. Yep.
I always assumed that there was something not backward and racist about the name, but no.
I mean, I think in their high school mascot is like, you know, Indians or Braves or Chiefs or something. I don't even remember now.
Something accidentally was telling me about pro football on TV. I don't remember why. And I didn't care. And two people were going to play. And one was the Bears, because the Chicago Bears, which I know that. And the other was the Commanders. And I don't know a team called that. And they didn't specify where they were from. So I'm like, okay, is there a football team other than Washington that had a kind of racist name that recently changed it to the Commanders?
I mean...
Or is it just another expansion team? I don't know. NFL's terrible.
You're asking the wrong guy.
Don't give it your attention or money.
I mean, the Cleveland Indians changed their name to the Guardians, I want to say. Was it Guardians? Did you hear that? The Cleveland Indians changed their name.
Yeah, but that's not football.
To the Guardian. No.
I knew about that. Yeah.
Okay.
If you're just joining us, we have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And all our good-hearted listeners and sometimes just random people from the world who typed an email address wrong. Right into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Do not stand on the computer. Thank you, Ezzy. With whatever the crap they want to email us about. And then the hat magically forwards us that email. And then we talk about it until we're bored. When we feel like it.
I do know who the Commanders are. I forgot. The Washington Redskins changed their name to the Commanders. I forgot.
The Redskins actually did change their name.
I forgot. All right. That. I do remember when that
back happened. When I was still paying attention to the public world, they were still dragging their heels on that one. All right, then. Good on them, I guess, eventually.
Yeah, that I don't know why some of those things took so long. I mean, you can find some Native American activists who don't like all that stuff, but they're like, we've got bigger fish to fry. we got bigger problems than it's called. you pretty much can't find a Native American. Maybe there are. Maybe there are some Native Americans who think, oh, this celebrates our culture or whatever. But most are like, no, this is clearly bad. This is clearly wrong.
I mean, in general, indigenous populations as mascots is not a great thing. But even within that front, Redskins.
Well, yeah, I mean, that you're right. That's particularly.
What would have been awesome is if they had gone the other way and they're like, we're not going to change the name. We are going to change the artwork to reflect that we are, in fact, the Washington Redskin Potatoes. From now on, I think that would have been cool. I would have supported that team.
Potatoes.
Redskin Potatoes.
Yeah.
Ezzie. God. Okay, my cat is losing her mind. She's on a major hunger strike, squirrely trip. She's a bad way right now. We're working on her, but soon she'll be happy again. We turned on the furnace yesterday. Might have been too early on account of, since we did that, it has yet to kick on because the thermostat has never gotten cold enough. I thought it would last night because it's programmable and we set it to colder at night, but it never quite got there. So, but it should soon. The outside temperatures are quite cold.
Yeah, and I'm glad of that because we know we have a day that it's 7 a.m. it's 35 degrees and 7 p.m. it's 75 degrees. No, a 40 degree spread like that, it makes
it's
me
not a fun time.
It actually makes me sick. I mean, I get a headache. Yeah. I can't deal with that. So yeah, I hope that's we're done with that.
Well, and the cold weather is finally getting rid of my last of the fall season allergies, which have been really bad this year. So it's been 2 weeks since we spoke. What you been up to, punk?
Well, probably the biggest thing that happened the last 2 weeks is Abby and I went to and had supper with Dave Avid and his wife. That was a real good time.
I didn't know about that.
Yep, they're very, very...
You didn't send me pictures of them in costumes.
They're wonderful people and great to spend time with. And we had a fantastic time. Other than that, I've been... Did I tell you that I'm taking abnormal psych this quarter?
No.
I mean, that's not what the class is called. The class is called psychopathology or something, but the text is called abnormal psychology. It's abnormal psych. That's what I'm taking.
All right. So... one of two things will happen this semester. One, it'll be kind of a load off for you because it'll be less directly like related to the world you're in and stuff, and it'll be less common things. That's ideally. The second is you start diagnosing me with a lot of shit and we have to have some serious talks, which don't worry, we will record for the public because that's our bread and butter.
But I mean, I do. It is a topic that I'm interested in, obviously, and have been, you know, my whole life, really. And so it's a really fascinating class so far. I worry that, you know, it is a quarter, and we basically take a semester class and smash it in that quarter. And I do worry that I won't have enough time to really, you know, spend time with the material like I'd like. But it's mostly, even though, you know, it's called abnormal psychology and, you know, that's what it is. That's what the class is and the text.
But it's not called that. We established it's not called that.
It's just really,
a minute ago.
It's really dealing with...
You made a point of saying that's not what it's called.
Yes, I know. Because that's
and then
not
you just
called.
Said that's what it's called.
That's what the text is called.
Oh.
The class is called psychopathology, I think. Yeah, I don't know why they don't just call the... Well, it doesn't matter. But what
I'm
the
surprised
class,
you have one text.
What the class is a... I mean, I think when people hear that, they're going to think, oh, so you're going to talk about, you know, serious psychopathologies or whatever. But really, we're talking about everything that's in the DSM. Anything that you can diagnose is what we're covering. So there's... You know, we're not going to talk about, say, schizophrenia or borderline personality disorder or whatever the whole time. We'll be talking about, you know, everything that's in the DSM. And, you know, I'm very much interested in that because when you work in mental health, you deal with a lot of different things. You're not always dealing with someone who has a mental illness or a diagnosable illness, right? But that's what you think about. That's what most people think about when they think about the field. It's kind of like physicians. You know, when some people think of a physician, they often think of them, you know, someone comes to them and they have some kind of ailment and they diagnose it and they treat it. They don't think about just someone coming in for a checkup and they get a clean bill of health and go home. I mean, that everyone knows that happens, but that's not, people don't think of doctors as existing for that purpose. They think of doctors existing to diagnose illness and treat illness. And in mental health, it's similar. You're almost never going to see a person that has a serious mental illness, but you know, that's why people think mental health professionals exist. So when you're studying diagnosable,
you'll see it a ton in every TV show you watch. Right. They're fucking everywhere.
Yeah, that's TV. Right. So, well, like when you're a kid and you imagine you're going to be a police officer, you know, you don't imagine doing paperwork, or, you know, if you're going to be a doctor, you don't imagine, you know, giving a little kid a sucker and telling him to go. I mean, you're in the emergency room or you're performing surgery or whatever. So, you know, when you're studying these things, you feel like you're kind of, you're reading books and you're talking about cases that are like, yeah, this is what people and even we who are getting into the profession think of as being a mental health professional. These are the kinds of things you think of doing, even though you're not going to do that most of the time. And you're going to be perfectly fine doing those other things. But
now I'm just picturing like toddler aged William being like, I'm going to be a mental health professional and I'm going to fix all the schizophrenics.
I mean, I did talk about being a physician, but not a psychiatrist.
I'd be like, poor Buffalo, you don't have to kill. You just need a hug. And then I'm going to hug him and check him for covert weapons.
I mean, you're joking, but
I don't trust the security in my clinic.
You're joking, but people probably did have conversations with me almost like that when I was a kid. I was a weird
kid. As per usual,
I was a weird kid.
Joking about you, William, while telling the honest truth.
I went to school for this many years.
So that I could help you.
Oh, man. Anyway, so it's fun.
You have to give me the knife.
It's fun to, it's not a fun topic because you're talking about mental illness, but it's
sure
it's
it fun. Is. Again, most hit TV shows are about it. People love this shit.
But it is fun to learn about these things and to, you know, to learn things that you didn't know, which is just about everything. I mean, you people with even diagnosable mental illness, much less severe mental illness, most people don't run into these people every day. So there's a lot of ignorance about it, including myself. Yeah. So I'm just thrilled to be able to learn more things about it, more things about the history of treating these things, to learn about techniques that really work. Because that's another thing is you think, man, how do you, you know, when you, the more you learn about, say, borderline personality disorder and how terribly oppressive it is for the person who has it and for anyone who knows the person who has it, you immediately just keep thinking while you're learning about it, how do you even treat this? Because, you know, a lot of problems with personality disorders in general, it really prevents a person even from forming, you know, what they talk about in the profession is the therapeutic alliance that even research has shown over and over again is so critical to having a therapeutic effort even work. You know, if the two people, if the therapist and the client can't form some kind of, you know, basic human bond and a collaborative relationship, I mean, nothing's going to happen here. There's no way the person's going to make any progress. So if a person has a personality disorder or an antisocial disorder, like that's like the very thing, that's like the very worst thing to have if what your hope is to get help from another human being. And so, but there are things that have worked. There are approaches that people have come up with that can work. And it's really exciting to learn about those things. You know, I don't know if, I mean, my career's probably going to be I'm very short, you know. I'm not going to be working until I'm 100.
Because so you're going to piss somebody off who has the wrong diagnosis. And then...
you know, if I work for 20 years as a therapist, I'll be, you know, 80 years old or whatever. But it might be in my career, I'll run into someone who has one of these types of disorders, and I'll, you know, need to figure out how I can help them. And I hope I can, because that's the whole point. But it's an interesting class, and I really do like it. I just hope that it's not accelerated so much like some of the other classes have been, that I can't really, you know, spend the time with the subject matter that I'd like to. But it's a fun journey in a lot of ways anyway. And I'm glad to be on.
I'm sure it's very interesting. Yeah,
yeah, it is. So how was your 2 weeks?
Well, I got sent pictures of a dragon. Sorry, one picture of a dragon and a video of a dragon.
That's a pretty cool video, though, right?
It was pretty cute. I had showed Trish the picture immediately, and then I forgot about the video, and I showed that to her last night at dinner. Somebody went to the Ren Fair in Amana.
Yeah, I didn't go.
Oh, those pictures aren't from you. Okay.
But Abby went.
Okay.
But I had homework to do, so I stayed home.
But young Delmer was dressed as a dragon, and it was
Delmer the dragon. Yep. And he liked it. Like, apparently he went up to people sometimes, you know, and he's like,
nice.
He was really getting into it. And in that video, I thought it was funny because he's walking and he's kind of squeaking and stuff. But then there's this moment where his attention gets, you know, gets distracted, and he's like, oh, you know, he kind of does that deal. He stops.
He seems very energetic. I think he probably had a real fun time.
He is, and he's energetic and he's happy. I mean, that's the way he is around the house too when they come here to visit. He's just very happy, very running around, you know, just getting into stuff. I mean, he's real healthy.
And then happy as soon kid. As they leave, he's like, I need a fucking cigarette. He's out underneath the porch, just like, Mom, Dad, just give me a sec, okay? Damn, yep. They were a lot today.
This will be, so he was born in April, and his first Halloween was last year. He was still pretty little, you know. But now he can walk and he can put on a costume, and he likes to do that. So this will be the first Halloween where he might actually enjoy
probably at the age where he knows that he loves candy more than anything else in the world.
I don't know. I mean, he's very he's very interested in everything. No, he's very interested in everything around him. Like, I don't know how focused he'll be able to be on, oh, here's a house, I go up and I get candy and I go to the next house. I don't know how plugged into that process he's going to be able to get, because, you know, if he sees a...
Oh, no, later years will be where that really gets out. But at this point, he'll just know that eventually he's got some candy, and candy's awesome.
And I think they're going to come... I don't think they're going to trick or treat in their neighborhood. I think they want to come to our neighborhood and trick or treat, which is like, oh, that's fine. I mean,
it is fancy.
Yeah, the kids used to trick or treat here, you know, and the houses around here decorate all right, and they, you know, they put their lights on and stuff. So I think it'll be okay if he trick or treats in this neighborhood. So yeah,
I wouldn't imagine. Why not?
Yeah. We're up for that. So yeah. I think and we haven't had. Like, when the kids got old enough, you know, obvious, and they weren't trick-or-treating, maybe they're going to Halloween parties instead or whatever, we didn't really like hand out candy or anything ourselves.
Yeah, we haven't done it in years.
So this is going to be the first time the whole trick-or-treating thing has been a part of our routine here at the house. And that'll be fun. That'll be good to get kind of back into that kind of thing for a while.
You should dress him up as Freddy Krueger.
Well, I think he's going to do the dragon thing again. But
No. We've seen him in that. Come on. come on, little, not quite two-year-old, wearing the sweater and the fedora and the knife gloves and is all burned up. Like, that would be so adorable. I would love
that. Let it now. Okay.
That would be super cute.
Mm-hmm.
And he could still make the same noises. Rah! That would work fine. He's probably not old enough to know to call people bitch, so... We'll start with just rah.
Oh, okay.
That'll be good.
Okay, aside from stuff sent by me to you, what else happened for you in these last 2 weeks?
Went up to Wisconsin to a weird cabin.
That was we didn't talk about that on the podcast yet?
I don't think so. I think that's why we had to record two of them.
Oh.
No, wait, we did talk about it. We came back, we had lunch, and then we talked about it.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Because we talked about it at lunch. We're recording
two next week. That's right. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. Nothing happened to me this week is what that means.
Nothing?
I picked up my wife and brought her home, and I went and saw my niece and Meet Me in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
Don't understand why that play exists either. It's a turn of the century Midwestern slice of life musical. Like, it's just sort of a year in the life of this family. There's not an overarching plot. Just shit happens to this family sometimes. Different shit.
Where do they live? Missouri somewhere?
St. Louis.
Oh, I thought they were going to St. Louis.
No. They are constantly singing about how other people should be meeting them there.
Oh.
There is a background thing of the World's Fair is gonna happen there.
Mm.
The 1904 World's Fair? I don't know.
Which World's Fair was there.
But that's a big thing. And the very last shot, we're actually at the World's Fair, which weirdly, for a children's amateur production company in a black box theater space, is really hard to convey. So they just wheeled in an empty fountain and put it in the middle, and that was sort of it. But it cracked me up, though, because at the end they all wear white for this thing, and they're just running around and nobody's explained anything, and I just lean over to Trish. I'm like, did they die? Is this them all in heaven now? Because even like side characters are just wearing their same outfit but a white version. It's like, what? They're all dead, right? There was a horrible trolley accident. Because this is the reason, like, it's not, nothing happened in the play. So I'm not that into it. But it does have two songs that we all know from this play.
Oh, really?
Yes. Clang, clang, clang went the trolley.
Oh. I mean, I don't know that song, but
St. Louis trolley was a part of it.
I only know that from SCTV or something because, like, some sketch comedy.
Something. I mean, I think I got it originally from The Simpsons. I've known other versions since then, but they made reference to it on The Simpsons one time. But the other one I'm pretty sure you will know. A little song called Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
Oh, that's from that.
Because one of the episodes where shit happens unrelated to other shit generally is at Christmas. And one of the children is sad, so another of the children sings the song.
And that's where it's originally from?
I mean, I can't swear to it, but I would be shocked. Musicals back in this day, as far as I know, didn't like co-opt existing songs.
I guess not.
Most of the time, when you hear one of these old songs that everybody knows in an old musical, that's because that's where it came from.
I like that song.
Kind of like how I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas came from Holiday Inn and not from White Christmas, which happened later and is essentially the same plot. Trish and I spent years really confused with each other because we had both grown up with a holiday movie where Bing Crosby and a friend of his take over an old resort and only do things during the holidays. And I was like, yeah, it's called White Christmas. And she's like, no, it's called Holiday Inn. And guess what? We're both right. And it's not different titles of the same movie. It's two different fucking movies where Bing fucking Crosby and some friend of his opt to purchase and run a resort hotel out in the mountains somewhere, but only do it on the holidays. And they both have the song White Christmas.
I think that trolley Weird. Song was something that I think Martin Short had a lounge singer character that he would do for sketches and stuff. And he'd sing songs, and then one of the songs that he'd break into was that one once in a while.
Clang, clang, clang went the trolley. Ring, ring, ring went the bell. Or ding, ding, ding went the bell, I think. Zing, zing, zing went my heartstrings. From the moment I saw him, I fell.
Yeah,
it's a silly song. Anyway, so we went and saw that. Brought my wife back here, which is good. Went to the dietitian. Nothing exciting. I lost a couple pounds, but that's about it, because I didn't have a great September and I've had a really bad October. I've only just got back into things there. I don't remember if I've had another therapy appointment since I talked to you, but there's nothing that exciting there. I'm sure I saw some other movies and things. We're finishing up season 2 of Woke. We finished up season 2 of Hacks, which is very, very good. Saw a movie last night. We're finally starting to get into the spooky movie stuff a little bit. I am kind of unimpressed with what the various streaming services are putting out this year. I'm not seeing a lot that I'm like, oh, I want to see that. I don't know why. But we finally saw a movie that has been on my radar forever because everybody said it was really kind of amazing and original for a horror film, that it made a big splash. It Follows.
Yeah, I don't remember if we've seen that or not. We were going to see it. Is it any good?
I've always been a little hesitant on it because at its base, it's a movie about a monster that gets passed via sex. And if it's passed to you, this monster that nobody else can see, that can take on any disguise it wants, just walks to you. And if it catches you, it's gonna have sex with you to death. What? And if you, yes.
Like I said, I have not seen this.
Yeah. And you can only get rid of it essentially by passing it on to somebody else by having sex with them. But then if they kill that person, they come back to working on you again. It's whoever's last alive on it. And the only way around it is it only walks. It doesn't run. So you have time sometimes. You can like drive away and you'll know it'll take them hours to catch up because they're walking. But that premise could be very rapey by its, you know, actual definitive characteristics.
Right.
So was nervous about that. And okay. So I've never really, I've always been like, people talk well about it. Maybe I should. And I should say on that front, it's not a big one. The only reason we know that's how they die is we do see it once. It is not particularly graphic, but we see enough to understand that's what happens. My wife claimed she suspected that was what would happen because the very first like pre-credits victim whose name we never know. You know how so many horror movies have a victim in the beginning that dies just to be scared and we never know who they are. In this one, my wife claimed she could tell the method of death based on the disposition of the corpse. And I'm now kind of scared of my wife because I have no idea how the thing we saw implies rough sex. So I don't know what that's about. But no, by and large, we don't have that, which I was very glad about. I thought we might. I'm like, you know, it's supernatural. It's not actually a person. Maybe it won't. And everybody, I figured if it was really rapey, people would have mentioned that. And so it's not. I can say that. I don't know, man. Like, it's a novel monster idea. And I want to give it points for that. It's clearly a metaphor also. But I'm not sure what for. Because AIDS isn't a thing like it. Like, if this movie had been made in the 90s, I would know what this was a metaphor for. But nowadays, I'm not sure. And I think it's set in the present day. The whole movie looks very late 20th century in its look. But one of the characters appears to have a compact that's like a seashell that has two screens on it and is essentially a Kindle. And if it weren't for that, I would think it might be set in the 90s. Like everything else about it has, but she has that. And that's not a plot point. She just has that. So I'm like, I think it's roughly present day. So then I'm confused about what the metaphor is supposed to be. And also, it's just a lot of aspects of the production are bizarre. The editing is really strange. The music sounds like MIDI chip video game music in a lot of places. It's a lot of the dialogue is just weird. And I wasn't ever lost in the plot, but there are weird edits and weird lines. And I'm like, I'm not confused now, but that just doesn't feel right as a movie. It's shot very interestingly, but I'm not sure it's shot intelligently. The production of it is just very strange.
So help me figure this out here. So I know that in what's often termed modern horror, and modern horror usually includes like Stephen King and the original slasher movies and stuff. It's like, this is what modern horror is like. There's this theme, I guess. I mean, I haven't really studied it, but I've heard people talk about this. There's a theme of people who have sex being like targets of the evil. Which, isn't that suggesting there's something wrong with having sex or something? Like they're being punished for their sexuality or something.
Traditionally, it's an outgrowth of a thing, because at this point it's like in a modern kids movie and somebody does a Peter Lorre impression and kids think it's funny because it's a funny voice and nobody who's watching the movie knows who the fuck Peter Lorre was. So originally we wanted to contain moral overtones. I think it was probably an outgrowth. A lot of what I think of as modern horror especially in the slasher genre, bears some DNA from old propaganda exploitation films that were really sensationalist, but were supposed to be warnings about, you know, doing weed or being a single mom or whatever you know. Gotcha. There was this moral component. And generally speaking, in a lot of early slashers and a lot of the archetypical and seminal slashers, whoever was doing the bad stuff got killed. And one of the bad things was premarital sex.
But it could be drugs, or it could be...
Drugs is another one. And frequently they'd go together. You need a few. So you're like, you're not going to feel bad when this person dies.
Playing D&D.
Because that's not what a lot of those are about. A lot of those are not about actual sympathy. And even nowadays you get that. If you see a slasher movie, most of the time they spend the first act just making you think all of these usually teens are shitty.
So you won't care that they get killed.
And will in fact be into it, because a modern slasher, that's sort of the main reason you watch it, is for the creative kills and whatever.
Okay, so do you think, so are you saying that when these slashers started and it was the kids that were having drugs or taking drugs or having sex, that was, you were supposed to, as a viewer, not like them or like be alienated from them? So when they died, it didn't affect you? Or
that is my belief. And it's because a lot of these early ones, well, and it's still true today, you're not rooting for the victims. You're rooting for the killer. People don't go see Friday the 13th movie because they're into camp counselors.
Okay, I know, but for that to work, let's speak in terms of back when this was just starting. People, the general audience had to be pretty judgy about certain types of behavior, like drugs and sex, right?
Or the film industry had to believe that people were pretty judgy about these behaviors.
Okay, okay. Now, so here's this movie, which is kind of playing to the same theme. Do you think the filmmakers think that people are going to be judgy towards these sexually active young people?
No, I don't think that's what's going on at all here.
Oh, okay. All right. So how does this persist? How does this keep going where people who are sexually active are punished by the monsters in horror movies? What's behind that? I don't understand.
I mean, I think it's just a grandfather clause at this point, because that's how it's always been. And a lot of modern horror movies are just homages to earlier ones.
Mm.
But I don't want to spoil a lot for this. It's on Netflix. It's not a long movie, but I will say it doesn't have a real high body count.
Mm.
And nobody really gets punished for having sex. I mean, in a very strict sense, based on the way the mythology works, some people do, but like, I anticipated this film would be, because we have a POV character. We have a character that it's that character's story.
Okay.
And I assumed this person would get the curse and then would try to pass it on, but would pass it on to idiots who would get themselves killed very quickly and then would come up with another resolution. That's not what happens.
Mm.
There's not a ton of sex in this movie. And most of the sex is a deliberate, informed choice.
Mm.
Because, and again, that's why this is clearly a metaphor for something, because the monster is very slow, and that's a thing. Like, you can go on a real long time as long as you're keeping an eye out, and then you drive or fly across the country. I mean, it'll take weeks to get there. And so there are ways around it. So it's something you could live with. And that's part of a component, because our protagonist doesn't want to just give it to someone else. Like, that would be shitty. That's what happened to them. And they don't want to be shitty like that to someone. I don't know, though. It's weird. If anybody else saw this movie and like has thoughts on it, please let me know, because it was a pretty big deal when it came out, and I finally watched it, and I don't understand. So, help me understand.
It's just always confused me how modern horror seems to think that, you know, sex is bad, which, I mean, there are prevailing attitudes out there like that, but modern horror thinks this? That
doesn't most modern horror and modern sci-fi is built on tropes. And horror has built into it tropes about that. I mean, hell, remember Cabin in the Woods? Like, certain people were required to have sex. Certain people were required to show nudity so that the ritual could work. Like, that was literally part of the scientific process they were putting together. These are built as my favorite thing in the world nowadays is when there's a sci-fi term of like technology or something that I've known for a while, but I'm like, what does that actually mean? And I look it up, and it's something that like Asimov or Le Guin coined, and everybody since then is just like, yeah, that's just a sci-fi thing.
Yeah.
The more recent one I got was an Ansible, which is a type of faster than light communication that I think Ursula Le Guin created. It's shown up in a ton of space books I've read since then from all sorts of authors, but it has no basis. I mean, in theory, there's some theoretical science there, but like, there's nobody's ever made one. It's not a real thing, but it's so buried in the vernacular now that other sci-fis just use it and don't explain what it is. They just have it. But yeah, I think they're all very based in tropes, and so
Mm.
That's part of it. That's the guy I watch who does the horror movie, or not horror movies, but just long running movie recaps on several of the horror ones right around the third movie. He's like, yeah, and then we have this scene, which is just for the gratuitous nudity, because when you're making a long running horror series that's R-rated, you suddenly remember around the third movie, oh yeah, we can stick boobs in this. And so then you do.
But I mean, clearly you're right. I mean, another thing that you get a lot in modern horror is a lot of strong religious themes, which many of these filmmakers aren't religious or strongly religious. It's just a thing that you put in your horror movie, you know? Like, well, they're not Catholics or believe in Catholicism or anything. It's just that's
putting Judeo-Christian mythology into your horror movie is one of only two ways you're allowed to work with Judeo-Christian mythology.
Hmm.
The other being, I guess, a Christian magical realism or fantasy film. But a pure flex film is the only other way you can do it. It has to be a Christian film. Otherwise, other movies can play with mythologies from other things. You can do fantasies and other things involving Greeks and whatever. You know, Marvel can fuck with this. But if you want to work on Judeo-Christian stuff, you need to be a horror movie. Also, Judeo-Christian mythos is some of the most cut and dried with our modern sensibilities of good and evil. So it lends itself very well to horror.
Sure.
The only way to stick other mythologies in there is to usually horribly misinterpret them. So like, hey, we picked this god from a different religion. They're a god of a bunch of things, but death is one of their aspects. So we're going to decide they're evil.
Yeah, right. Yep. That's interesting.
All right. Bad news. We used up all our time.
We did?
Maybe not quite. But I'm sick of your face. Yeah, okay. We'll read one question. We almost did. I think we only got a few minutes left from when we started. Oh. I don't know. I ran over a lot, but we did use up a lot of time. All right. Let's see what we have. Oh, this one is from Azure Talon. The subject on this is Narf, comma, Fjord. Narf, famously what Pinky from Pinky and the Brain exclaims on a regular basis. And a fjord is a particular type of coastal geographic feature.
Yes.
I don't know why he put those in there.
I didn't know. Narf.
Yeah, Pinky from Pinky and the Brain. Go, Narf! That's like his little sound mix. I combined them and was seeing Fjord, which is an old Discordian thing that was heavy in the Illuminatus trilogy years ago. But nope. All right, so, wow, there's a bunch of crap here. All right, so the Hat has noticed recently that people have gone back to several questions in a single email. This is not super great bookkeeping for us over here, because generally speaking, the way we know if we've read an email is if it's listed as read. So, I guess this is all one question, but it's a lot. All right. So here it goes. Facebook games in the style that became At Midnight's hashtag wars. For those of you who don't remember, which is everybody except me, At Midnight was a game show on Comedy Central that happened at midnight. And it was hosted by Chris Hardwick, and it had a lot of comedians on it. And it was the closest thing to like a British panel show that we've really had, where there were points, but it was mostly just about fucking around and saying funny things. And in order to get brand synergy, they would have hashtag wars, which is they would basically come up with a funny sort of word puzzle thing that then everybody would tweet about, and the best ones they would show on the show later. So here are some that Azure Talon has suggested for us. Describe a fart using a movie title. I don't find that interesting, because that's just the same as describing a poop using a movie title, which is already the best game in the world. So why would you downgrade it? Describe your bedroom activity as a song. Little root one there, but all right. And depluralize a film. I'm more interested in that. What's some of the best versions and best answers you have heard or can think of?
I'm going to be worthless on this right now. I'll probably think of a whole bunch of stuff later, but
trying to think of a good depluralized film. I mean, I've got a few good man, but that's not cheaper by the individual, and its sequel, Cheaper by the Individual 2. Come on, I thought that was good.
I mean, yeah, I guess, sure.
You're a monster.
I know, I'm a tough audience, and I'm not going to have any ideas myself.
Sexual style as a song, I'm like, this is just the fortune ending all fortune cookies in bed. I mean, I can pick a song that sounds good. Some Enchanted Evening, there's a good one. Like, there you go. I want to rock and roll. A lot of songs are already about sex, so you know, Stay the Night. Will You Still Love Me for the Rest of My Life? Because I'm very, is a 38 Special song from the 80s. I'm very needy in the bedroom. I need protestations of love before even foreplay can happen. I'm like, yeah, I really need to know you're in this for the long haul. I don't know, Azure Talon. What are yours? You got, okay. You all go to the blog, make us look bad, please. Or don't, in which case you'll make Azure Town look bad. Because either we suck at this or this email sucked.
I don't know, I think...
a lot of them, that means we suck at this. If nobody says anything, it means you, the listener, are saying Azure Town sucks.
I think he's just catching us in the wrong mood. I mean, that's the thing about this podcast is, you know, we don't really show up ready to make the podcast a particular thing. I mean, it's whatever mood we're in, if we're tired, if we're sick, if I've been working on homework and I'm completely fried and there's no way I'm going to be able to make anything up. I mean, that's just how the podcast goes. We don't
describe a fart using a movie title. The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel. That's what my farts are like. Describe your bedroom activity as a song. Clang, clang, clang went the trolley. Depluralize a film. Jaw.
That's a pretty good one.
The sad thing is I was going to do depluralize Jaws 2 and just call it Jaws. And then I was like, wait, there's an S on that. I can just call it Jaw.
Penny from Heaven. That's mine.
Which is that your fart or is that your sex? That's your depluralized film. Okay.
How about both? How about all three? That's my answer for all three.
Okay, now we're gonna do it using only Harmony Korine movie titles. That'll get rough real fast. I feel like there's a lot of potential in depluralize a film. But damned if I can come up with it. One Angry Man.
Star War. Just one.
That came up in something recently, and they were talking about a scene from New Hope, and they're like, when they're losing the Star War. Um, good fellow.
The Dirty Single.
Wait. Oh, okay. Took me a minute to remember what the freaking movie was. The original movie. The One Samurai. Why'd you even say one? Can't you just say The Samurai?
Can't you just say The Samurai?
Raider of the Lost Ark.
I mean, it actually makes more sense that way.
Breakfast at Tiffany. That sounds weird.
That's not the plural, though. Isn't that possessive? Or no, that's just Tiffany's, is just the name, right?
I don't know. That's why it makes no sense. What about the great 80s black comedy that spawned a Broadway musical, Heather?
Yeah, that's good.
Marvel's Avenger Assemble. The Jungle Page. All right, that was not. This is not a good podcast.
Snow White and the Dwarf.
Okay. Especially because now it sounds like an 80s police procedural, like, or cozy mystery series there.
Oh, we should.
They don't get along, but they make a great crime solving team. Snow White and the Dwarf.
We should somehow, this reminds me, we should say something about Angela Lansbury, who passed since we podcasted.
She did.
Last.
She did.
R.I.P. to her.
Loved her, loved everything she's ever done, except that weird Senior Fitness video, which is odd. Look it up if you haven't seen it. It's a very interesting time. She was old as snot, so I mean,
yeah, 96, I think.
But tremendous work. We were just talking about one of her. Oh, HBO Max has Gaslight.
Oh, it does.
The original film on it. And I think that's her. I think it's a very young her.
She was an incredible talent, for sure.
So we're depluralizing. Do we have to... is it now Pride or Prejudice?
Good. Now you're really... Now the noggin's working now, yeah.
you, me, or Dupree, but you can't have more than one.
Good.
And Lansbury, fantastic. Bed Knob and Broomstick.
Or Bed Knob, or Broomstick. You've got to depluralize it entirely.
There's also several movies that are now just called Ocean.
Yeah.
And are probably really bad heist movies.
Maybe the first one's okay.
Now, do you mean the original first one with Frank Sinatra and no one else? Or the original remake with George Clooney and no one else?
It was in that one?
What?
And Brad Pitt was in that
one. Brad Pitt was in Ocean's 11. Only George Clooney is in Ocean.
Okay.
This is what I'm saying. There is no heist team if you depluralize it. It's just one dude.
You're right.
And 12 and 13 and 8. Although in that case, Ocean refers to Ocean's sister, also Ocean.
Well, a movie that wouldn't work just singular would be Gremlin.
You've lost it.
It's just
Gremlin. Also the weird coming of age Stephen King one, Stand By Yourself.
Okay.
All right. See, I thought there was untapped potential in this. You just got to get in the right headspace. This is one real sad kid standing around being like, you want to see a dead body? Yeah, okay. Do you know where one is? I do. Why didn't you mention this earlier?
It sounds like a biography about me. Haven't I told you someone, I don't remember who it was, but I think I was at a reunion or something. Someone said, you know, Bill, my earliest remembrance of you was in elementary school. I'd be playing, you know, with all the other kids, and then I'd sort of look around or whatever, and there you were, just sort of walking around the perimeter of the playground all by yourself. Yeah, I remember that.
Crop dusting, because your farts could best be described as the Phantom Menace.
I remember that. That is what I did at recess. But I mean, I wasn't like depressed or sad or anything. That's just what I wanted to do. It didn't bother me. But yeah, that's what I did. I was a weird kid.
So then the movie becomes Little Woman. That doesn't seem...
Nope.
Right?
No, it doesn't seem right. Sometimes the plural really matters.
I do like that we can just take off the "and" for everything. So it's like Harry Potter and absolutely nothing else. I think that may be straining the levels of the
No, I like your but... I like your innovative. I mean, you're really stretching the instructions here in a way that I think's very humorous. It's better than just taking the S off of things.
As we've established, that can be fucked up sometimes. It's not called Mary Poppin. And also yourself, then the colorful children's movie Trolls becomes the disconcerting Norwegian film Troll. No, sorry, that was Troll Hunter. It becomes the weird ass 80s horror movie Troll, which spawned an unrelated sequel that is considered one of the worst movies of all time. Yeah, that's all I got.
Me too. I think I'm done.
Do you ever think that our podcast might be slowly sunsetting?
I don't know. I mean, if
this I feel ever, like we're not in touch with the people like we used to be.
If we decide we're ever done with this, we've got to get to. We at least have to get to episode 666. We have to do it.
You did promise your Dark Lord.
I mean, we can go past that. I mean, that's fine. We can't.
Your home will be destroyed in a rain of fire if we don't. It is such it has been written. So I'm with you there.
Just, you know, we're just so close. We have to do it.
I just feel like we don't have our ear to the ground like we used to. I feel like we're not in touch with the people and what they want. If you're people, let us know what you want in the blog, themagicaltalkinghead.com. See how that goes. In the meantime, keep yourself busy. Go to aethertheater.com and look at all the crazy crap William has there. It's really, you know, you in some small towns, they have like a tourist trap that's like a museum of something that you're like, I've never thought that there would be a museum of that. The novelty of that alone, I have to go check it out. And you're like, and afterwards you're like, yeah, it's bad. You know, it costs like $5. It's like, what else we were going to do? It was this or the local McDonald's. There's like nothing else going on. So it was kind of fun and it was different. And I mean, I'm going to forget about it tomorrow, but I'm not sorry how I spent the day. That is what aethertheater.com is like. There's just a lot of stuff there that you're like, oh, I've never heard of anybody doing that. Why would you do that? And you're like, what else is on? Yeah. Also, go to the go to Oddwings. Go to Smashwords.com and buy my book, Oddwings.
Oddwings.
Yes, it's plural. A book that is so well beloved that a dear friend of mine can recently be quoted as saying, I'm about 25% through it, and it's not bad. I might even read the sequel.
I mean, that's a Hollywood producer right there. You're saying, wow, I 25% like this. Let's green light a sequel right now.
I mean, fuck off if that's not a pull quote on my second book. That is definitely going on the back cover of my second book.
Yeah, that's great. That's good stuff.
Love that. So yeah, it's hugely popular, and you can too for only $3.
Won't you?
Thank you. And then otherwise, we'll be back next week. We'll just do this again. So enjoy. Also, if you want to say lovely things about the much less glare now that William has painted the wall behind him. Seriously, I want to say it's like night and day, but that feels a little on the nose. But it's just like so much better. I can't even tell you.
Yeah, it's good color. We like it.
Normally, when I'm waiting for you to show up, and I'm already on here because that's the kind of mental issues I have, I'm watching the TV and it's got a lot of glare and that's bad. But today I was watching something that had a yellow background and it actually was really good lighting. And I almost was like, could I pause this and use it as lighting? But I'm like, at a certain point, the stupid screensaver is going to kick in and that'll be it. So I didn't do it. But yellow apparently works good on me. Anyway, yeah. Go to blog magicaltalkinghat.com and tell us your thoughts on all of this, because we clearly did not have very many. And also write in the email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Anything you want to write. I probably won't make as much fun of you as your talent. And even if I do, it may turn back around and it'll be good. I have no idea what the title of this episode is going to be called, but it's probably going to be one of those titles we came up with. So we'll have to see. And then listen again next week and see if we can even do better. Probably not.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.